This is See Your Calling.
Many people are asking today, what is wrong with the world? And everybody sees so many things that aren't working right, that are going wrong. Government isn't working right. Schools aren't working right. Nothing seems to be going right, and everyone is asking why. We need to have better education. Well, you can't teach without standards. You can't teach without values. And if there's any one thing about the public schools is true, they cannot have any values. Teachers cannot say, children, this is right, and children, this is wrong. Neither can you do that in society, because society has gotten to the point that they are told that right is wrong and wrong is right. And those who do wrong and those who do evil, you shouldn't condemn. Let's go back to Isaiah, the 5th chapter, because God talks about a time and prophesies of a time just like we live in today. Exactly like we live in today, and it causes a lot of difficulties even for those who are called of God. Verse 20, Isaiah 5. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And of course we know and we will see that it is the leaders. It is the leaders, all kinds of leaders. Turn back to Isaiah, the 1st chapter. Turn back to Isaiah, the 1st chapter. Or is it the third chapter? I beg your pardon. Isaiah 3 and verse 12. Of course, then, you have a lot of people growing up in society that now we have generation upon generation, three deep and four deep and five deep, that don't know anything about God. And yet it's ironic that the Bible is the most published, the most studied, the most read book in the world, but society has also rejected God. And it's the leaders that have done it. Verse 12, Isaiah 3. As for my people, children are their oppressors. And at any time in history, this is more true than ever before. Why? Because the teachers teach the children that the parents are the enemy. And that the parents are wrong. And the whole curricula, the whole modus operandi and philosophy of the schools is, we must save the children from their parents. And therefore, the parents have no input into the school. Or they say, well, come and participate in PTA. We want to hear it. But they never listen, and they never act upon it. And women rule over them. That is so true. Women rule over men. And there's nothing more damaging and frustrating than that. And that's the way that it is, because God made it that way. O my people, they which lead you cause you to error and destroy the way of your paths. So it's the leaders, the teachers, the politicians, and the religious leaders in particularly. Now let's go back to Isaiah 5. These are the ones who are saying that evil is good and good is evil. Verse 20, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drinks. And the same principle would apply to drugs. And they're still trying to legalize drugs. And can you imagine what would happen to the society? We are being assaulted. Some people call it a cultural war. Well, it's more than a cultural war. It is Satan as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And we, as the people of God, have to live in this terrible evil world and figure out somehow how do we survive. And, of course, let me just mention here, strong drink, that mingles, men of strength to mingle strong drink, don't think that they didn't know about what we would call opium. Maybe they didn't know about what we call heroin today because they didn't have kerosene to break it down like we do today. But they certainly had drugs. They certainly had marijuana. Hashish, by the way, is one of the oldest things that people have smoked and taken in all of history. And do you think that those in Southeast Asia just let the poppies grow until all of a sudden one day someone decided, you know, 200 years ago, oh, let's get opium out of this? No, they had it for centuries. And so it's possible that strong drink could refer to those things that have drugs added to them. Do you think that the craving for drugs by carnal people is any different today than the carnality of people back then? Hardly. Hardly at all. Okay? Which justify the wicked for reward. And all you have to do is just look at Congress. Just look at the judges. Just look at the society. And takes away the righteousness of the righteous from him. To where even people who are wanting to do good don't know really whether it's really worth it to do good. Because after all, they're like a fish going upstream, and there's only a little trickle of water that's left for them to stand in. All of the water is rushed by them. There's nothing left. But here's what's going to happen. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so shall their root become as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Now, there is going to be absolutely no changing society until you reverse what I just read here. Till the society runs by the laws of God. And of course, you know that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. It's going to happen when Jesus returns. No political movement, no organization of churches is going to change what God has set his hand to do, period. It's going to happen. But we look around and we see the society deteriorating around us. Let's go to Romans, the first chapter. And we will see again, reiterated for us, that when any society rejects God, when any society gives itself over to the ways of the devil, then these things are bound to happen. Look at the Soviet Union. They proclaimed that they would bring egalitarianism, which is another high-sounding name for communism. They would bring it to everyone in the Soviet Union. They would bring wealth, they would bring riches, and all the workers would work together. And we would have a wonderful society. Are they suffering the penalty of rejecting God? Yes, they are. Because no nation can survive when it rejects God. That's not to say that a nation is going to be perfect. But the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose Lord is God. And even Gorbachev had to go hat in hand, literally bow at the feet of the Pope and acknowledge that even this paganized Christendom of Roman Catholicism is better than what they had in the Soviet Union. And then the final coup de grace on them has been the Chernobyl incident. So the Soviet Union is going down, but every other nation is also in varying degrees of disintegration and degeneration because of the same thing. So here in America, in the Western society, where we have the knowledge of God, what are we doing? We are denying it. We are turning our backs on God. We are going backwards. And here is how the whole thing works. Romans, the first chapter. And verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. All ungodliness is going to have some kind of correction, some kind of penalty, some kind of wrath. Now, just to show you, well, I'll cover it here a little bit later when we get into the deceptiveness of the human mind. It's really interesting what has just happened here recently. Okay, so it's revealed. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, immediately, for those of you who know your Bibles, when we hear the word truth, what does it spring in your mind? Your word is truth. Jesus said he was the truth. He was the way. Okay? So they hold the word of God in unrighteousness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, let's see what happens. Because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed to them. And it certainly has been. And everything, as we will see, that has been made. For God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And I always get a kick out of these astronomers. They're striving like crazy to put up more instruments into the heavens, to have bigger and better telescopes with which to see the heavens, discovering countless billions of galaxies, looking out into the heavens and declaring that maybe they have even seen the center of the universe, which I doubt, and they don't know what to make of it. And now the Big Bang Theory doesn't work any longer, and all of their other theories don't work either. But God has shown them the magnificence of his creation and his glory. But they turn around and just ignore it. So a penalty comes on everyone for that, and eventually down to the society. Because these things then reveal his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. No astronomer is going to say, well, when I had education, I was taught the theory of evolution. God is going to tell him, you should have known when you looked up and saw these stars and you saw these planets and you saw all of these magnificent things that you could see with the technology you have. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So God has to have the glory because he's creator. And after all, can the created say to the creator, what are you making? No, he can't. So here's the first thing that happens when you don't recognize God, when you don't give him the glory, when you're not thankful, when you do not give God the power and the glory that is due him. Now, to understand that, you do not even have to know about the commandments of God. We could say that you could understand moral good and still acknowledge God, and then you wouldn't bring a lot of these difficulties upon you. But when people reject God and reject his word, then this happens. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And this is what is the guiding principle of the politics of this world today, right here. And they are just bringing one penalty after another penalty upon this whole society. And we'll see what those things are in just a minute. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And we have that today manifest in all of this. Save the animals, but abort the babies. Completely perverted, wrong, upside down, and silly, and stupid, and vain, and foolish values. And where does that lead? Well, we'll see. Because God does something. It's not just happening to happen, but there comes a point then in which God intervenes and he does something. He causes something to happen. He gives them over to their own evil. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, and to dishonor them bodies between themselves. As we are confronted in a society with every evil, with every gargantuan thing concerning sex, and that's where it begins. If you're going to reject God, then somewhere down the line, shortly after that, you're going to have beginning of perversion of sex, which then is an escalating and multiplying factor in the value and morals of society. Who changed or exchanged the truth of God into a lie. And of course the ministers are the ones who say, well, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do the other thing. Well, God way back then, that's a different God than we have today. And of course that is a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which is fitting. One of those final payments is AIDS. Now, it is coming from the religious leaders. How many heard this week what the Presbyterian Church was voting on and discussing? Did any of you catch that in the news? None of you did. Presbyterian Church now has said that we have to give up all of these old standards. We cannot condemn homosexuality. We cannot condemn premarital sex. We cannot condemn masturbation. None of those things can be condemned at all, because we live in an enlightened age. Now, this follows on the heels of what the Episcopalians have done. And I read part of this before, but needless to say, here's an article in a religious section from Time magazine where this so-called Episcopal bishop, who is the one who ordained a homosexual priest, married two homosexual men, says that there's no such thing as the virgin birth, that it's all a myth, it's all a fairy tale. And so what we really have, we have those who are pretending to be religious leaders leading the way into the total degradation of the society. And you can see it reflected in everything in the whole world. Not only the way people talk, the way people think, the way they act, their sex mores, their standards, their ethics, the whole thing. You can see it on television, you can hear it in the movies. And all of these things are a result that God gave them over to these things. That's the penalty. That is the wrath of God that is revealed from heaven on a continuous, ongoing basis. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to reprobate minds. Now, what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is a mind that cannot think correctly. And I call you to typical examples. Homosexuals, male and female. Ministers, like the ones I have referenced here, the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians and any other minister who would do those things. Our judges, our courts, our police system, our political system. They cannot think, they cannot reason. Now, just to give you one example, we've been inundated to death with this beating of the policeman beating this man what was his first name? King is his last name. I remember that. And it showed what they did. Now, I'm not agreeing with that he should be beaten like that. I'm not saying that that was in any way right to do. But just to show you the perversity of the human mind with the same circumstances. The reason that these police are in trouble is because a man stood on a balcony with a TV and recorded the whole thing, which showed down in the lower right-hand corner the time of the day and the minutes and everything like that as it was going on. Well, last night the police confiscated a TV camera from some thugs who out robbing and stealing and beating. And they recorded all of this on a video. It showed the time, the day, showed the ones doing it, showed the ones that they beat up and robbed, and it was black on black, by the way, for those who have any prejudice involved. Guess what the defendant's attorney said to show you the perversity of reasoning. The same attorney, if he were to prosecute the policeman who beat up on the man, would say this proves and concludes what they have done is wrong. Turns around, now it's not the same attorney, but you know how attorneys are. Okay? He turns around and says, in the case of these thugs that recorded their own, by their own hands, recorded their own crime, bragged about it, did braggadocio interviews afterwards, the attorney for the defendant say that we shouldn't be able to use this video because it's been shown on TV and it's discriminatory against my defendant. Don't even have the brains to realize that the camera can't lie. The camera can't do a thing but record what was done. But you see the perversity in the thinking of two almost identical cases. Now you can take that same kind of reasoning where down is up and up is down and right is left and left is right and 3 is 4 and 7 is 10. And that's the way that people think today. Okay? God gives them over to that. Now, as a result of what happens after they've been given over to this kind of thinking and reasoning, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to read you your TV guide right here in just a few verses. This is your TV guide. Fornication, all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit, malignity, whisperers. Oh, and aren't people tried in the newspaper today? Oh, yes, whisperers, gossipers. Just like this unauthorized biography of the Reagans, that what was her name, Kitty Kelly, wasn't that her name? She put it out. She never even talked to them. People she claimed she interviewed never even talked to them. Complete hoax. And that's one little teeny, little, just almost nothing in the blip of the evil that's going on in the world. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now, there's New Testament doctrine which says what ought to be done with these people. They're worthy of death. And the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of grace, who in the rest of the book of Romans tells us about the grace of God, says these people are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, in the midst of all of this, we have a lot of religious people, don't we? We have them preaching, we have them teaching. And let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And Jesus told us about these kind of things and these kind of preachers and these kind of episodes that would take place. Matthew 7 and verse 15. Now here in Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus warns, "Beware of false prophets." Now there are many kinds of false prophets. They're not just prophesying false things. They're teaching false things. They're acting upon false things. They're telling other people to do things which are false and wrong. Okay? Not just in the religious sense alone. But when you get down to it, everything in life that has to do with God, which is everything, then has some sort of what you would call religious overtone as far as people would perceive it. But there are a lot of religious pretenders out there who follow right along with this, who are dressed come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Of course not. Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore you shall know them by their fruits, that is, by their lives, by the way that they live. Which means that as Christians, we have to excise and put away from us more and more of the things that are emanating from Hollywood, from movies, from TV, from the literature, from the newspapers. We have to protect ourselves from this thing. And we do. And it's difficult for us living in the world, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to stand up and say, oh, look, the world is all this wrong. Or look, these religions are wrong. But what do we do? We have to get down and ask that question, which we will see here in just a little bit. Verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you've got a lot of religious pretenders out there. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, what is iniquity? In the Greek, it's onomos, which means against law. What did the Apostle John say concerning these religious pretenders? There were religious pretenders there. Let's go back to 1 John, the 2nd chapter. Let's see how then we can judge these things and how then we can begin. We can begin to protect ourselves from this sort of thing. I mean, let's think about it for a minute. Are we affected by the world around us? Answer, yes. Look at Lot and his family living in Sodom. Was his family affected by it? Was Lot affected by it? Yes. 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, says that he was frustrated every day because of the deeds of the wicked. But remember what happened when Abraham intervened to try and spare Lot? God said if there were only 10 people in Sodom, that he would spare the whole city if there were 10 that were righteous. So the angels came to take Lot and his family out. His sons at home, don't bother me, Dad, with that nonsense. You and your religion. And he was even so bad that when the angels came to the door and all the homosexuals came beating down the door to try and get a hold of these angels for their night of convenience, that Lot went out and even offered his own two daughters to them, which shows you it did affect Lot. I mean, how would you feel if you were one of the two daughters and your own dad went out there and said, look now, fellas, leave these other guys alone here, but you can take my daughters? Now, how would you feel? So it did affect him. Okay, so the angel solved the problem, so it wasn't done. They struck them all blind. Okay? Then what happened after they fled? Well, his wife turned around because she didn't believe what the angel said, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And then Lot didn't want to go into the mountains, so then the angel said, okay, go to Zoar, which is this little city over here. I'll let you go over there. And then when he got out of there, where did they go? They went up in the mountains to a cave, and then what happened? He was so despondent he got drunk. And the two daughters said, oh, we're here alone, and how are we going to have children? So they committed incest with their father. And so each one of them had a baby by their own father called Moab and Ammon. So does the society around us affect us? Yes. Well, let's hope it doesn't affect people that much that they get into it, okay? But here's the guide that we can know. Anything that comes to us, whether by words that we hear in person or on radio or television or record or recording, whatever, or by friends and acquaintances, here is how we judge it. Right here. Verse 3, 1 John, the second chapter. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's a very basic way for you to keep your sanity. You don't necessarily have to be rude to these people. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to be absolutely rude to them because there's nothing else they understand. And that comes under the category of hating evil. In other words, to keep this thing from coming in upon you and upon your life, you have to be firm to them. And the only way to get rid of them is do like Jesus did, insult them. Sometimes you have to. I'm not saying go out and insult people. Please do not misunderstand. Now, Abraham was in a similar society, wasn't he? Way back when. So if you feel like you're alone, you are. Abraham was alone. God came and said, Abraham, I want you to leave the home of your father and your mother, and I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you. And I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. So Abraham obeyed and he got up and he left. Well, I won't go through the whole story of Abraham. But was not Abraham alone? Was not even Abraham affected by his own human weaknesses? Yes, he was. Remember we went into Egypt? He said, uh-oh, now what am I going to do? My wife is so gorgeous, even though she's older, that the Pharaoh is going to say, oh, ho-ho, boy, he'll kill me and take her for his wife. Shows a lot of faith in God, doesn't it? Okay. And so what did Abraham do? He said, I know what I'm going to do. You're my sister. And then you know the story that happened. Pharaoh found out and he says, now why did you lie to me and say that she was your sister when she was your wife? Abraham had nothing to say. Then we come down to the time when he's about ready to receive the inheritance, about 12 years from it, and he's striving like mad to have a son because God said that out of his own loins he would have a son. So Sarah says, now look, Abe, this isn't going to work. Here's my handmaid. So now we've got the Arab-Israeli problem from that day to this. So the society and events around us do affect us. But we still have to live in the world and keep our sanity and keep right with God. So let's see how we can keep our minds on that and really understand what we need to do. Okay? Let's go to Luke 5 and verse 32. Luke 5 and verse 32. And here is something that is absolutely, completely, always true. And this is for all those religious pretenders. Okay? Verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So don't feel as though you've done so badly that you cannot repent and God is going to cast you aside. If you feel guilty or struck because you've done something you shouldn't do, God came to call sinners to repentance. And so that's what to keep in mind. God knows, God understands, and He realizes. How much has God done to go out of His way to bring us out of this mess, to help us out of the world? So we're out here in the world and things don't go the way we think they ought to go and we fall down flat on our face. Now what do we do? Okay, let's go to Romans 5 and we'll see. Here's what God did this before we even existed, before you could say we were even thought of. Romans 5 and verse 6. Now, sometimes we are. We just seem to be overwhelmed with the way the world is. Now, sometimes we can get away from it, you know, and get in and close the door behind us, and we feel much better, much relieved, and pray and study and do the things we need to, and of course that is true. But here in verse 6 it says, for when we were without strength, just like people in the world, we had no control over what we were doing. We didn't know right from wrong. We didn't understand good from evil. We didn't understand God from anything else, and we certainly didn't understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. We didn't understand what God did for us through Jesus Christ. For when we were without strength in due time, or that is at the set time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's how we are rescued out of this world, by coming to God and by realizing that God has called us. So if we want to put any title on this sermon, we could entitle it, You See Your Calling. Now that's how we can survive in an insane world. By seeing our calling. That's how we can survive. And seeing that God has provided the way for us. And lots of times we'll go out and we'll just be going on our way and we know we shouldn't be doing this, but we're still doing that and our conscience convicts us and we still go ahead, and then God works out circumstances to keep us from really doing bad. Have you ever had that? Okay? Well, God doesn't want you to do it. So God is there to warn you, to rescue you before you go too far. Why? Because God commends His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies of God, enemies of righteousness, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life, because Christ lives. And that is what is most important. Please go to the next track.